I wasn't recording, but I just cracked open an ice cold seltzer, and the sound was so delectable. I kind of lost the plot there. Anyway, today was a weird day for me. Where's my baby? Where's my beautiful wife? He's not in here yet. So we'll keep riffing. I'll tell y'all about my day. Hard to riff about something that's kind of, it was a rough day. Basically, I've been training at this job for 6 months, and today was my first day doing consulting. And the client asked that I be removed from the project within 90 minutes of the start of my first day. So that was tough. That was tough. But I wasn't born to be a consultant. No, I was born to goon. I goon for you. Now goon for me. Fun with someone new. Well, now you want me to take you back, but we're all through. Cause now I'm leaving. No make believing. More than you'll ever know. But you just cheated and you lied. Now we're all through. Well, you knew it from the start. Someday you'd break my heart. Now let's just go.
Won't you goon for me, baby? Quah, the way I goon for you. Won't you goon for me, baby? The way I goon for you.
Go on and goon. Goon. That's what we got, baby. Where the fuck is Lucas? I've been singing for 15 minutes. Oh, he's waiting to get in. He's waiting to get in. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Sorry. I'm so sorry. Hey. Hey, how are you? How are you? Yeah, well, you didn't get fired today. I don't know. I thought I was doing okay. That's what was fucked up about it, is like, it could have gone a lot worse.
I'm certain that you were doing just fine.
I mean, I had to look up a lot of stuff. Like, I did have to look up a lot of stuff.
I don't know. If I was being sold, you know, I know how much the time costs. I'd be like, I want someone that's been doing this for 20 years. Don't you have someone like that?
Yeah, it was weird. Everyone was like, I thought it was going really well. That was what made me so sad. It's like,
damn.
All the people were really engaged, and like, I showed up, I immediately got everybody logged in, right? I had to edit some stuff, but we got everybody into the system, and immediately, like, everybody was taking turns, like, practicing in the very first, like, session. And then I got fired. So it was like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, just terrible luck. Terrible luck with a PM that decided to be a jerk today.
I hope so, because it really doesn't make you feel good to be waiting to do something for 6 months and then get fired in 90 minutes.
Yep.
It's kind of the worst feeling.
It's truly comic. Like, it's either tragedy or comedy.
No, and I mean, I hope to look back on this one day in 10 years and say, well, I got fired on my first day of consulting, right? And laugh about it. But, you know, who knows, man? Could be back in the gutter, gooning it up.
No.
Here pretty soon. I wasn't born to consult. I was born to goon.
I was born to podcast.
And I was born to podcast. I was born to smoke weed. I was born to complain. And I was born to goon. And if anybody doesn't like that, well, you can go fuck yourself.
Amen, brother.
Oh, no, I am like, I'm heartbroken, honestly.
I'm sorry, man. I'm so sorry.
What can you do? I mean, I just have to keep things in perspective. Life is good. I have a roof over my head. I have a beautiful wife. You know, I took my bike to the bike shop today and okay, so I get fired from this fucking gig and then I like step outside to like scream and the t-shirts are here. I had ordered some shirts for the boys at the bike shop. So I pick up the shirts and I walk down to the bike shop and I'm like, hey, here's the shirts. Do you want the hit me with your car or the trucks are for cucks? And they pick their shirts, and I'm like, hey, does John have my wheel? And they're like, I don't know, John's not in. Why don't you come back this afternoon? And so I went back home, and then I came back that afternoon on my walk, and all the boys in the shop were like, we just saw Barack Obama.
What?
And I had missed Obama.
Oh, no.
Going to Taco Joint.
That's crazy.
So in a world where I like just give up on my day and like go get tacos instead of trying to get a little work done after getting fired from the thing, I met Obama. I should have just taken care of myself.
Yeah.
And like pity and like partaken in some like stress eating.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, sometimes you got to do that. You got to put yourself first. Got to take care of number one so that you can meet that sweet, sweet Barack Obama.
Meet the president. I would say, Mr. President, the blackest thing you ever did was put a body camera on every cop, and the whitest thing you ever did was bomb the fuck out of the Middle East.
That's crazy. He was in the bike shop? He stopped at the bike shop?
No, he waved at the boys in the bike shop on the way from Taco Joint to his SUV.
I see. I see. And they're sure it was him?
It wasn't a lookalike.
I mean, it may have.
Why'd he go to Taco Joint? I cannot believe he went to Taco Joint. It's if you know, you know.
Hell yeah. Well, did they have your bike when you came back the second time?
They took the wheel. I had to actually walk back to my house a third time and go and grab the bike for them.
because they had the wheel, but not the bike. And I walked to the hemp store and bought an ounce of hemp, which is legal. Come at me, government.
Delta 8?
No, 9.
Do you have Delta 8?
I'm Delta Force, baby. Coming to email your wife.
No, anything but that.
I was born to goon. I was born to smoke weed. I was born to goon. I was born to... I forget.
Born to have a an impactful gait. Born to jaunt.
Should we talk about bike to work day?
Yeah, America's favorite like virtue signal at something. It's like more aggravating than it is like satiating for me.
I agree. I mean, it really upsets me. Because every day you're faced with like real danger and like a lack of infrastructure. And then the same people who have created that situation not the same people who have created that situation, but people who play a really major part.
People who are that situation.
Right. It's like there's a lot going on. There's a lot of federal policy. There's a lot of state policy that's also at play. And the local transportation department doesn't bear all responsibility for local roadways, but they are the administrators of the law, and they do have a lot of leeway. So there is no infrastructure. I mean, where I live, there is not a network of protected bike lanes. There's maybe 4 parks downtown that sort of connect to each other. And that serves as a semi-functional network for a number of people who actually live within distance of it.
Right, and work like downtown.
There's enough population.
We're talking about commuting.
There's enough work and housing along that network of parks such that you see commuters using the infrastructure. And it is like almost like a mini network just for a small portion of the city. But realistically, the city maintains something like 18,000 car streets, right? There are no car-free streets in the whole city, right? Every street is for cars. So if the city maintains a street, it's maintaining car lanes. And so there's 18,000 of those. And then we have like maybe 100 protected bike lanes at this point. What sucks is how subjective the phrase protected bike lanes is. In Austin, it's tough because sometimes that is like a nice wide 10-foot sidewalk. Sometimes that's like a 2.5-foot sidewalk. It's like, oh, that's like the bike infrastructure that is actually critical to people's commute. Right, you'll frequently see that.
I mean, sometimes it's a gutter with plastic bollards.
Well, that's, as far as the city is concerned, that's high comfort network, and I don't agree and I don't disagree. Like, it's a lot better than nothing, but I ride those lanes on 2-lane roads. You see the same posts on like 6-lane roads, and you start to think, is it really better than nothing?
It's not better than riding on a parallel street that is not too far away if you can find it.
Yeah, true that.
That's usually better than the plastic bollarded lanes.
So if the listener wants to pull up the map, yesterday I made a map of Austin's bike lane network.
Bow, 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 new map.
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, this one's for Austinites. And so I tried to include everything that is, strictly speaking, a separated bicycle facility. So that is like actual protected bike lanes, trails in the parks, and then certain sidewalks in the urban center that sort of serve as bike infrastructure. Like
that are wide enough.
And it's not like people are going to take these. I mean, in practice, people don't take these long distances. People take them short distances to their house. But they are a piece of the infrastructure network, right? And it is... strictly speaking, it's a separated facility, so it's on the map. Even if you'd be a fucking clown to ride on some of this infrastructure. And I think that's one of the things I want to draw attention to. Even this very incomplete network at roadway.report/bike lanes includes infrastructure you can't even ride on. And then if you compare it to the 17,000 car lanes, which are also maintained by the city and shown... conveniently on the same map at roadway.report/bike lanes, you can see that it's a fucking joke. They don't want us to ride a bike. There isn't a transportation network. I've specifically excluded infrastructure that is like just a shoulder or just like a painted bike lane, because normal people won't use those. We have a 0% mode share. Can we stop congratulating ourselves? We have a 0% success rate, right? Let me check. I'll be gracious. I will check Austin's latest citywide mode share numbers.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I agree that looking at this map, once again, roadway.report/bike lanes, right now live for Austin, Texas. I love the visual discrepancy between the green lines and the black lines. You can toggle the bike lanes and the car lanes on and off on this resource, as well as fatal and disabling crashes. And I want to further drive home your point about the fact that not all of these green lines are streets or infrastructure that one would ride on in their right minds. It is more often that off of these bike lanes, there are parallel streets that you can ride on that are safer, that are slower, that are narrower, that are just better in terms of roadway safety, especially outside of a motor vehicle. And so it's kind of hard to quantify, but particularly when you think about a whole network, those thoroughfares that allow you to travel a long distance are crucial if we are serious about operating a city without motor vehicles or with less reliance on motor vehicles. And so I think this is a really salient visualization of the inequity of taxpayer money and how it is allocated to support a wide, broad, ever-extending network of car infrastructure. In which bicyclists and pedestrians and all of the creatures on God's green earth are relegated to prey animals, right? Like you're going to die.
Again, when four times as many people use Cap Metro as ride a bike, you know you're doing something wrong.
Yeah, because the bus sucks in Austin.
And I'm sure that half of commutes are under 5 miles. I mean, a lot of them are really long, but a lot of stuff goes on in the city, man. So yeah, I'm not about to pull a bunch of census data right now, but from the Austin Strategic Mobility Plan, from the last time that it was checked, it's like 1% of Austinites ride a bike to work. And the share is higher for other trips, right? Like people are a lot more likely to run minor errands on a bike or a scooter or an e-bike than they are to commute to work. That is more of like a transit type trip, but 1% is 1%. Like, what do they got in the Netherlands? Like 45, 50, 55%?
Yeah, and drive alone, I think, is like 15 or 20.
There are American cities that have a pretty decent bike share. Like, so yeah, 15 to 20, right? That's just Davis, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, what U.S. city has a 15% bike share? Yeah, I was having a conversation with a neighbor recently. We're talking about this bus rapid transit lane that we're trying to get installed on Colorado Boulevard, and they were bringing up a lot of points, and this neighbor of mine, he bikes around. He bikes a lot. It's the primary way that he gets around. However, his point that he kept making was that if we divert car traffic, they're going to go drive on the parallel streets to Colorado because it'll be faster. And there's families that live on those streets and there's schools. And we just don't have any data to suggest that people are going to switch modes rather than switch routes. And it's just like it's such a fundamental misunderstanding. I found it difficult to argue with, but it's such a difficult it's such a misunderstanding of like the transportation network that does serve cars, because the transportation network, at least in Denver, is characterized by large thoroughfare arterials that are always going to be the best way to go, even if They put a bus lane. It's still the system is still built to funnel cars there and to slow cars down elsewhere. It's like such a nothing argument. And I've been thinking a lot about destinations and the ways that cars move through the network, and trying to find like a really solid way to argue for the network continuing to function for cars while also making space for other folks. And it's just insane that, the introduction of a bus lane would make the streets less safe. It's just such a backwards way of viewing the world. And I just wanted to talk about that because I had a hard time coming up with a coherent argument against what he was saying. Because all these people always ask for data. Well, they haven't done any studies. It's like, fuck you, dude. Like, the people die on Colorado Boulevard. That's where people are dying. We need to make that street safer. What are your thoughts on that, about projects that would limit car traffic on major arterials, causing an increase in roadway danger on nearby streets?
No, that is the opposite, unfortunately, of what is true. It appears that there is a 100% correlation between safety and an army of gooners taking back the streets in the dead of night.
Yes, once that happens, I think we'll be all in the clear.
Gooners want to be free. Gooners want to be free.
They need to be free.
I want my baby back, baby back, baby back. Gooners, baby back ribs.
I want my streets back, streets back, streets back, streets back.
That's pretty good. This is pretty good.
Gooners, take back the streets.
Gooners, take back the streets. I want my city back.
I want my wife back, wife back, wife back.
Yeah, I miss my wife.
Please don't email her, email her, email her.
If anyone here emails my wife, you'll be in a world of hurt, I tell you that much. It is such a joke. Like, look at downtown. There's one bike lane. They don't want us to bike. There's just two bike lanes. What do they want us to fucking do? What do they fucking expect? Every fucking street after every fucking street. Two lanes of moving cars and two lanes of parked cars, if not more lanes of moving cars, right? One bike lane through downtown, constantly full of people, right? One bike lane on Congress, constantly obstructed, yet still full of people. It's such a fucking farce. Put your fucking money where your fucking mouth is, you stupid, mouth-breathing, no-good, douchebag, son-of-a-bitch, low-life fucking losers.
No, but we participated in Bike to Work Day. 20% of our employees one day of the year biked to work.
Infrastructure doesn't need media. You don't need to advertise infrastructure. You just build it. The bus doesn't need a PR team. It's just so fucking stupid. Everyone's fat. We're living in the Wally world, but dumber. We've killed 4 million innocent fucking people. There's microplastics in my testicles, and I'm fucking mad about it.
Amen, brother. It's a travesty, and it's like decades and at this point generations of separating us from our political will and our physical ethnographies, and it's the automobile and it's the rectangle. It's those are the two things, and until we can put down the slot machine and stop oinking for it. I don't know. Until all of the working people of the world take hands and the gooners all stand side by side and block every street in every neighborhood, it's difficult to vision a future that is less violent and deadly, because the channels of information are so heavily controlled, and anytime someone wants to try to make an impact, it's they meet barrier after barrier. I respect everyone out there, all the gooners trying to take back the streets. You know, everyone advocating, everyone doing their part to try to be the PR team for the bus, to try to change people's minds. But I think you're right. It's not something we can reform. The roadway safety crisis cannot be reformed.
What do you mean by that?
I mean that we need to start fresh. And it's, I know that's very difficult with infrastructure, because infrastructure lasts, right? But it doesn't last forever. And we need to make choices when we're faced with the infrastructure projects to completely divest from the existing network. We can't let questions like, oh, but what about the discomfort of people driving as they change? I've heard this from a lot of my comrades recently. They are talking about, well, we need to make sure that they feel comfortable. And I think that's over. I think if we do that, it's game over, because we're going to keep building the same network. We can't build the same network again with this generation of planning and infrastructure.
But we're gonna, man. It's still, the problem is, it's still legal to just buy land, build the cheapest imaginable house, sell it at the market price, and make a killing.
Right, and there's no incentives
it'll just happen in perpetuity.
To not do that.
Until we all die. There's nothing stopping it in the current regulatory environment, is what I'm getting at. Right. I mean, it is kind of a textbook case where, like, intervention is required. All the nicest places in America have, like, pretty strict land development policies.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you have to oink pretty... you got to oink pretty hard for it these days. What's the price of gasoline there in Austin, Texas?
I don't know. I'm not a pussy.
I know, but aren't you interested? Aren't you rejoicing at the rising prices and the barrier to entry to drive the Pigmobile?
Piggy pay $420, still like dirt cheap.
That's pretty cheap. Yeah, about $450 here in Denver.
It's like what? Oh, we're paying what, California prices from 2005?
Yeah. It's like $6 in Southern California right now, according to my contacts.
That's not a lot for California.
No, it's really not. I remember when I was there as a kid, I think it was mid-aughts, and gas was like $9 a gallon.
No, I mean, there just is no network of infrastructure. There's no transit infrastructure. There's no bicycle infrastructure. It's just tar, lanes, cars, beep, beep, beep. You know?
Yeah, and all of the infrastructure that does exist is conducive to violence. It would be somewhat different if we had a network of car streets that disallowed cars from going more than 10 miles an hour. Like, a lot fewer people would die.
We need to invent a device that shreds your penis if you drive over a certain speed.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you got to strap into it when you fire up the car.
The NHTSA is going to mandate penis shredders that, like, are installed in your car, and you have to insert your penis into the device before you turn your car on, or your car won't start, just like a breathalyzer. And if you've been a really bad boy, you'll have both.
Call it the dickalyzer.
The dickalyzer.
You speed, you shred.
Really, though, like, real solutions to traffic violence.
I mean, I think, like, a truly realistic solution is robot car. Robot car can't go faster than 15 miles an hour or 10 miles an hour. And we work to make robot car lighter, and we just over time phase out the 2-ton tank. We regulate the size of vehicles into obscurity.
I mean, that is a practicable solution. It still requires, some downsides, right? Pneumatic tires are still made of petrochemicals. They're still carcinogenic. They still run off into the water. Asphalt is still a petrochemical. It is still carcinogenic. It is still running off into the water. And maintaining a network as it exists still has some negative effects.
Absolutely. Especially, environmentally.
If we're to transition to smaller vehicles, right, and just use lithium-ion batteries, we're going to need a lot of lithium. I think that's important to acknowledge. It still requires a lot of materials. I think you're onto something in that, like, cars need to be regulated back down from the monstrosities that they've become. Like, are you really a man if you don't have an 8,000-pound truck? Because that's what it's like here. I don't know what it's like where you guys live, but that's what it's like here. It's weird.
Yeah, it's not quite so bad here. There's a little bit less of that, but you definitely can sense it, especially when you get out of the, like, central urban areas. It's And it's really the big truck is more like a baby's carriage or a Wally chair than anything else. And I just struggle with the masculine association with driving a big truck. I can appreciate the masculine association with like farming animals and building things and carrying heavy things and making the world, right? Like I understand that masculine impulse. But
carrying heavy things is extremely masculine, I will admit.
Yeah. But for, you know, Joe software engineer or Jimmy dentist, why are you driving a truck? Why are you such a baby that you need to surround yourself with that much metal and protect you from the world? Like, you're a baby and you need to go and tell your wife that she should leave you.
Mama,
I want oil.
No, and it's like, what? Why are you trying to poison the world with your microplastics and your trucks are just dumb. Cars are dumb.
Tar is dumb.
I don't have any other opinions. It's like, don't you people want to go outside? I guess not. We've made outside terrible.
We've covered it in tar, to your point. We've covered it in asphalt. We've taken like the most gross, hardcore, terrible substance, and we have covered the entire world with it.
Because it was cost effective.
To prioritize the convenience of motor vehicle drivers.
Yes, in that context, right. And we had to find something that was cost efficient in order to sustain this system. We've put so much research and technology into like maximizing the efficiency of the shittiest possible system.
Yep, we've spent, what? I mean, how many years? 80, 60, 70?
Instead of taking a step back and like considering our design choices, right, we just kind of like kept putting a Band-Aid on it over and over and over again. And I mean, there are some early indications that self-driving cars will be much safer than people, right? But how many years until these are entirely phased out? How many lives could be saved in the meantime if we just block the streets from cars, if we just actually built bike lanes, or like if every time we repaved a road we actually built a bike lane, how many people's lives would be saved? Over, because it's like these technologies that we have, like bike lanes and investing in public transportation, these are proven to prevent roadway violence, right? These are proven to make the street a safer place to be. All new cars in America are already manufactured with certain automated driving systems. It's the law. Self-driving cars are already on the road. We don't have empirical real-world data to show that self-driving cars are gonna prevent a bunch of traffic deaths. Yes, on paper, the numbers look good, but like, this is speculative. This is research and development, right? These are technologies that have not yet reduced the number of traffic deaths. It doesn't mean they're not going to. It just means it hasn't happened yet. And there's technology that exists already.
Well, and let's consider bang for your buck, because we are in a position in the history of global resource management that we need to be mindful of the amount of resources that we're using for a number of reasons. Climate change, of course, being a hoax I won't bring up. But thinking about the management of resources and building a truly sustainable transportation model, if we lean into robot cars, which is what the, you know, capitalists in control, of course, want us to do, because they're the most resource intensive, they are going to be, you know, essentially status quo in terms of infrastructure management, et cetera, the other things we're discussing today. If we invested the same amount of time, energy, and money into a bus network and buses that were energy efficient and frequent and comfortable, and we redesigned the roads to allow people to get around more comfortably and more safely outside of a motor vehicle, outside of a bus, if we made those investments, we will be better off in 80 years when we're running out of oil and we're running out of tar and we're out of lithium and we can't continue to build robot cars, right? Like, it's the sustainable and the responsible solution to throw off what our ancestors have handed us and build something better. It's the only way.
I think even if we... Okay, here's actually a really important hypothetical question. Let's just say that overnight, the city is able to replace all of the infrastructure in the urban core with safe infrastructure, which is impossible.
And
right?
sexy infrastructure.
It takes like a century. Let's just say that over, like, pretty quickly they're able to make the urban core completely safe and convenient and easy to bike or take transit. As long as land development practices continue as they are, and the number of aggregate VMT keeps going up, I don't know if we see a decrease in traffic deaths.
I think you're right.
Just fixing the center of the city will save a ton of lives in the long run, right? But part of the issue is that we keep adding to the problem. We keep upping the stakes and we keep adding cars to the roads over and over and over again, lest the S&P 500 stop going up. You know, I don't want to put all my eggs in the land development basket and this urban sprawl basket, but I don't want to put all my eggs in the fix the form of the right-of-way basket either. They're both equally, I don't want to say equally important, I don't really know, but they're both critical to solving the problem.
They're both ingredients to the murder pie that we've baked.
We have to stop inducing VMT, and we have to... We're inducing VMT both through a lack of investment in safe infrastructure, and we're inducing VMT by creating places that are born to be, you know, born unto car world, that are car world.
Yeah. This is an argument I've been having with neighbors regarding the Colorado project. Something that I like to bring up is, like, it's your tax dollars that are funding this road. And it's your property taxes that are really at stake here. And the property taxes that are paid by people outside the city center are not funding any of this infrastructure. So if you're making the argument that we need to take into account the convenience of people that have purchased a house 35 miles away from the city center, like, why are you putting them in front of yourself? Why are you prioritizing their convenience when they made a choice to live there? You made a choice to live here. And this is your city. This is your neighborhood. The subsidization of car infrastructure by urban residents who would prefer a less car-oriented world is like one of the bigger dupes, I feel like, that they've played. Which I feel like kind of gets us onto a topic that I want to ask you about, because I haven't heard it yet, but... Ben's going to be on the Strong Towns podcast. What, the Revolution, the Gooner Army version that they do, or what is it?
So they have a few podcasts. One is called the Bottom Up Revolution podcast.
No tops allowed.
Yeah, I was like, the first thing I thought, the Bottom Up Revolution podcast with Tiffany Owens Reed. She's who interviewed me. I didn't meet this Norm Van Eden Petersman fella. And it was weird. It was weird just because, like, you know, we can call this a comedy podcast all we want, right? But this is a political subject. This is a political topic that is near and dear to our hearts.
Yeah, this is a morally reprehensible broadcast about society's deepest evils.
So the bottom up revolution is a podcast for, like, normal people, I guess, because she didn't say, like, bottom up, like, face down, ass up. She just was like a normal person. Because the first thing I thought was, like, throw that ass in the air.
Bottoms up. Let me see your cup.
But I didn't say that. I just was, like, normal. I just pretended to be normal. And then, you know, we start chatting, right? We had a little phone call before the interview, and we start chatting. And she's just asking about, like, you know, how I started the project and stuff. And, of course, I'm cursing like a sailor. And then she says, you know, we don't curse on the podcast, if that's something of a habit of yours.
Jesus H. fucking goddamn Christ.
I said, oh. And then I said, you haven't listened to our podcast, have you? I was like, it's pretty crude and vulgar. But I didn't say, I refrained from saying, it is a podcast for people who are addicted to internet pornography. I didn't say that.
You didn't say it. You didn't say it. Right. Wow. You betrayed the Gooners in that moment.
I know. I know. And so then I had the interview, and it was kind of weird because, like, she's like, we don't talk about politics. That was like my two notes were like, don't swear and don't talk about politics. And it's like, I thought I was here to discuss politics. So I tried. I mean, I tried to sit down and say anything about like Democrats or Republicans.
But
it was nice. She was really cool. She was fucking with it.
The word revolution is in the podcast and in the podcast title. And you're not supposed to talk about politics?
I think, I don't know. I mean, Chuck Marrone is a Republican, right? He's the guy who runs Strong Towns. And it's not like his ideology is... It's just that, you know, I think they're just trying to, like, be nonpartisan, whatever that means.
Sure, but politics does not mean
partisan. It just feels like,
it just feels like a
legacy of a different time, man. It's like there's just no such thing anymore.
Yeah, we can't comfortably as centrists design our way or reform our way out of this problem. That word revolution is meaningful sometimes.
And then I forgot to plug our podcast.
Unbelievable.
You know, what do you do?
Can you reach out and make sure they put it in the show notes?
Gooners. Yeah, I did. I said, hey, will you please plug our pod? Are you into bus stuff? And then I said, BUS.
18 plus.
18 plus for sickos and degens. Gooner-rooner-renos, come and listen
this
to us.
This podcast is only for freaks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I admire anyone making media on the topic. That's just so counter to like my foundational understanding of this topic. And we tend to we're a right wing podcast. We're squarely a right wing podcast. But Democrat, Republican, these are titles that they give us so that we can separate from our brothers and sisters, so that they can divide us by these primitive categories, red and blue, that we attribute our identities to. But the personal is political, and one's political identity is a complex and multifaceted thing, and it sometimes can overlap with party policies and party politics, but party politics is not politics, and it's crucial that we continue to engage politically with a capital P as it regards these topics, especially because of the number of our neighbors that are dying every year on our city streets, preventable deaths. If there's anything worth being political about, it's preventable deaths.
We love preventable deaths. I need returns. If I could invest in preventable deaths, I'd do it.
Well, that's what we've done with the death map, baby. It's every time we add a pin to this map, we earn a dollar. That's 50 cents for you, 50 cents for me, hon.
Don't forget to drink and drive. Don't forget to speed. Don't forget to goon and drive, I guess. I guess that's distracted driving. Don't forget to text and drive. Don't forget to drink and drive. Don't forget to speed. Don't forget to close your eyes every once in a while just to keep things
light. Close your eyes every once in a while. Pull over on the freeway and, you know, get out, stretch your legs on the side of the freeway. Be sure to do that from time to time. Ride a motorcycle.
Yeah, ride a motorcycle while you're sleep deprived. That's a big one.
And while you're wrapping up like a 6-hour goon sesh, so you're letting the vibration take you to the edge.
There's nothing cooler than drinking a fifth of vodka and getting on the bike and then just going as fast as you can down I-35.
Yeah, skitching, grabbing onto the back of some semi truck, letting the wind blow through your hair.
I saw the sexiest fucking micromobile person the other day. It was like a fat old man in roller skates with hiking poles, but not like hiking poles, almost like a hobo sort of like I found these two metal poles kind of poles.
Hell yeah, pushing himself forward.
Yeah, I loved it.
He didn't look homeless.
He didn't look house.
Those wheels are his home, baby.
Dude, there was a time in Austin where you'd say, is that a hippie or is that a hobo? And like,
yep,
I miss those days.
Before it was just yuppies. Yuppies as far as the eye can see.
Gooners want to be free. Gooners want to be free. I want my city back, city back, city back. I want my city back, city back, city back. I want my gooners
want to be free.
Gooners want to be free. I want my city back. It's so good to be back. Today was the worst day ever, bro.
It's my city and I want it now. They're my streets and I want them now.
I'm trying to just respond in stride to the situation, right? What else can you do besides try to move forward with grace and respect for everybody in the situation? But it's tough, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's an ego hit for sure when someone doesn't like you and they want somebody else. But at the end of the day, it's a company problem.
No, it's true. It's really not my problem. I just feel bad for letting down my supervisors.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I rely on you every day, baby. I have a single speed bicycle and I want to ride it now.
So, Gooners, we haven't published the secret episode. I haven't even edited it. I'll probably edit it
secret,
after this one.
Secret.
But Lucas and I incorporated a business. We had to cash that check, and now we...
Allegedly.
Okay, yeah. I mean, we are an LLC. Roadway Report is an LLC now. If you want maps, we got you. If you want graphs, charts, we got you. If you need a death map, an injury map, whatever you need, baby, we got it. We are using
free and
open source technology. You're paying $35,000 a year for an ArcGIS license. We can replicate all of your infrastructure for like $6 and a hand job. So get in touch.
And we'll do it. It'll be done. We'll update it for you. You don't need to fix it when it breaks. It won't break. And did we mention the hand job?
Did we mention our fucking maps work? What's the deal? What's the deal with maps? You click on a map, it never loads. What's the deal?
Why is only half the data on this one? Why is the major city county data only up to date through 2020? Why, while on your website, you have text that says how important up-to-date data is to drive, decisions, to make data-driven decisions. Like, if you have any text on your website about making data-driven decisions and your maps don't work, I do not respect you.
Anyway, you can get in touch if you want to do business with a couple of sickos, especially if you're real pretty. That's so bad. Especially if you're real good looking and you want to...
Especially if you got that smell.
How many times can you lick your lips at the cashier at HEB before you get kicked out of HEB? 13?
Will you put me in that bag, mommy?
Will you bag me up?
Will you bag me up and roll me out to my trunk?
Will you bag me up? Can you help me out to my car? Can you help me out to my van? Waiter.
I don't think I can make it.
Waiter, my van. Will you help me to my van? You're so supple. You're so supple and delicious. Will you please come out to my van behind the restaurant where no one can see and there's no cameras?
Yes, just stand right there, right behind my van. Just stand right there. Be still now.
Waiter.
Yes, sir.
This souffle.
Yes, the souffle.
It's too risen.
Well, we do pride ourselves. I know Chef prides herself on a properly risen souffle. I can have her make another for you.
Could you make it flatter?
You want it to be flatter? I mean, souffle. Oh, man. I mean, the joy of poking into a souffle that is just like a cloud is really sort of what we pride ourselves on. Have you tried the souffle in front of you?
To be honest with you, Lucas, I don't actually know what a souffle is. How do you make one? Is it a pastry dough? Is it like just eggs and like milk or some shit?
Yeah, it's like it's sort of like, I don't know, bread pudding, right? It's egg based, It's like an egg-based dish. That's why it rises. Eggs tend to provide that action.
Oh, God, it looks good. Bechamel. Oh, a bechamel and egg yolks. Fuck me, bro. That is French as fuck.
Yeah, you whip the egg bite, the egg whites, and it like puffs up, and then you can do cheese. I know there's like dessert souffles, but you want that thing to be high. You want that thing to have risen, baby.
Sorry, I'm losing the plot. Today was a hard day. Waiter, gooner, I sang about gooning for 15 minutes, so that's the folks will love that.
Yeah, and I think we had a content-rich episode. We talked a lot about roadway safety. So, thank
roadway
you,
safety
listener,
isn't real.
For...
There are What'd no experts. There roadway safety isn't real. There are no experts, including us.
There's no experts. There's no science. It's vibes all the way down. It's vibes all the way down, listener. And don't let them make you double back on your principles with their propped up science or pseudoscience or... with their assertion that, oh, we don't have enough data. Data's wonderful, science is wonderful, but roadway safety is about taking back the streets, it's about loving your neighbor, it's about building a more beautiful world.
Thank you, Lucas. I would love to feel to be more a part of my community, to feel happy and comfortable when I go outside. I would love to be safe. I would love to be free. I would love to know what it's like to be in the streets with glee. Oh gooners, won't you take back the streets? Won't you take back the streets with me? Gooners.
If you don't do it for yourself, do it for me.
Gooners, do you want to be free? Won't you come with me? Gooners, do you want your world to blossom into a beautiful thing? Do you want to suffer in traffic? Do you want them to murder your son? Oh, gooners, do you want to be free? Do you want to be free?
That one was called Gooners, Do You Want to Be Free?
Another one. Well, thanks for tuning in to another installment of Are You Into Bus Stuff, the only comedy podcast about dying in traffic. I'm your auntie, Lucas Riley. You can reach me at lucas@roadway.report if you want to connect. And this is Big Daddy Ben Carnero on the keys.
My name is Gooner McGoober. I'm the host of Gooner Wars. Yeah, man. No, thanks for listening, guys. If you realistically, if Strong Towns comes out, this will be some people's first podcast. And this is pretty par for the course. Me getting upset, calling someone a and then singing about gooning. So thanks for joining us.
We hope to see you next time. Ta-ta for now.
Hit me with your car. Go on and hit me with your car. Hit me with your car and drive away. Hit me with your car. Go on and hit me with your car. Hit me with your car and drive away. Hit me with your car. Go on and hit me with your car. Hit me with your car and drive away. Hit me with your car. Go on and hit hit me with your car. Hit me with your car and drive away. Hit me with your car, baby.